This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Please join us for a word of prayer.
Awesome God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you are. We thank you that you're able, that your strength is perfect, and it doesn't depend on our strength. It doesn't depend on our goodness. It doesn't depend on our ability. We thank you for being God and God alone, a God we can count on when our backs are against the wall. God, that gives us joy this day, unspeakable joy. We gather in this place just to celebrate your goodness and your mercy toward us. We gather in this place just to praise your name, because truly, Lord God, you are worthy. God, even as we celebrate the joy you give to us, we are mindful of those who might not be experiencing joy this morning. God, we lift up all those who are grieving this day. God, we lift up all the families impacted by those tornadoes in Kentucky and the surrounding states, oh God. We lift up all those who stand in need of your presence this day. Bless, Lord God, like only you can. Heal, Lord God, like only you can. We trust you because we know you're able, and that gives us joy. God, we pray that you bless this worship, that everything is done is pleasing in your sight, and that it ultimately brings honor to your name and helps someone come to know you, God. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
The Bible says, "Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart." Now let's join Reverend Eleanor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Our first scripture comes from Zephaniah, the third chapter. About just like we did last week, if you in Matthew, dial it back just a few pages. Zephaniah chapter 3. And it tells us of the story of God's restoration, God giving victory to those who have been facing tough enemies and even punishment for their own sin. But we're going to start at the end of the chapter and just read verses 19 and 20. And God says, "At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame." It sounds like victory. "At that time, I will gather you. I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the people of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes." Amen. Milan is coming now to read from Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 4-7.
"Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God."
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Awesome God, we give you thanks for the joy, the gift of this day. God, we thank you for your peace that fights for us. We thank you for the victory that we already have in you. We thank you for the joy that results from being your children, oh God. And so now that we have come to this, your preaching, your teaching moment, God, use this word to help us know how you would have us to journey in joy. How you would have us to use our joy even as a tool to build your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. It's in your Son, our Savior's name, that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, church, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. And I don't know about you, but anytime somebody says that to me, I kind of want the bad news first. So maybe we can end on a high note, end on a good note. But I really don't know if I can separate it that easy today. The good news and the bad news is all mixed up together in these scriptures that we're going to deal with today. And I know many of us are tempted to only listen to the glad gospel. Amen. Some of us only want to pay attention to the Jesus who feeds us, the Jesus who meets our needs, amen, but we can't quite hear the Jesus who asks us to take up a cross, amen. So today's texts are kind of like bad medicine that eventually make us feel good. They seem a little rough, a little tough for today's Advent theme of joy, but like a spoonful of castor oil, only folks of a certain age understand that. But like a spoonful of castor oil or a COVID vaccine, it might not seem good, even if it is for our good. So here we go. Hold your nose and just swallow it down, right? The bad news is even the Lord gets tired of our mess sometimes. Even the Lord gets tired. Now, give me right, quote me right. Pastor didn't say that God gives up on us. I didn't say the Lord turns his back on us, leaves us, counts us out. I said the Lord gets tired of our mess sometimes. Our excuses, our disobedience, our lack of faithfulness. Zephaniah and Luke, which we'll hear later, both offer us messages that should bring joy to us. The Lord is going to free you. The Lord forgives you. That's good news, but it's not a guarantee. That's bad news. We have to repent, Luke says. We have to be open to correction, Zephaniah says, that these were a people who can't nobody tell you nothing. So he says you've got to be open to correction. If you read the entire third chapter of Zephaniah, the prophet says that the children of God don't trust God, don't draw near to God, don't listen to God. He says, but morning by morning, the Lord dispenses justice, does what's right. And every new day, God does not fail. Yet the unrighteous, that's us, the unrighteous know no shame. God does no wrong, and we have no shame in how we choose to respond to God's goodness to us. The next 10 verses of that chapter lay out the punishment, but I'm going to skip that since we're supposed to be talking about joy today, right? But the passage that we're reading for today begins in verse 14 with the prophet saying, rejoice. The Lord has taken away your punishment. You don't have anything to fear, so get to work. The text doesn't actually say get to work. It says, don't let your hands hang limp. Don't let your hands hang limp. In other words, don't stand there and do nothing. After all the Lord has done for you, you want to sleep in and sleep on God's goodness? After being delivered from the enemy, even the inner me, we say, is sometimes the enemy. After being delivered from the enemy, you want to stand there with limp hands, doing no work, serving no one, offering no praise. Don't just stand there, God says. The least you could do is rejoice. Rejoice, because I'm about to bring you home. I'm about to restore your fortunes before your very eyes. Now, I can hear someone say, Pastor Zephaniah, that's Old Testament. When Jesus came, we don't have to do all that. Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose Luke knew that there would always be some naysayers. So he records John the Baptist preaching the same message that Zephaniah had. John the Baptist in Luke 3 says, repent and be saved. Repent because the Christ who redeems and saves is coming. That's good news. The bad news is, hold your nose, Christ isn't coming empty-handed. Luke 3 and 9 says, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire. Every Christian standing around with limp hands, every disciple not making disciples, every servant of the Most High King who is not serving needs to know that the axe is at the tree. I know this is not a joy to the world Christmas kind of message, but maybe the message is that the road to real joy carries us through repentance. The journey of joy must include some repentance, some, Lord, I got that wrong. Help me out. Lord, I know I didn't do what I promised to do. Help me to be a better me. The journey of joy must include some turning from our ways and turning back to God's ways. In order to be able to rejoice, to choose joy over and over and over again, we have to change some things. One writer said it this way: sometimes when you do something you don't normally do, you'll see something you don't normally see. Friends, Advent is a season for doing new things, for reversing our path in the middle of, my mama hates it when I bust a hole, you, that 180 in the street. Don't you know that's illegal? I know, mama. But sometimes even life requires us to bust that 180 and go an entirely different way, to do something entirely different, to evaluate the way that we're traveling and figure out what's missing from my life that would really add to my life. Advent is a season for doing new things, new ways of seeking the Savior. Because sometimes when you do something you don't normally do, you'll see something you don't normally see. Advent is a season of wonder. And I wonder what practices help you seek the Savior. What helps you keep your eye on the soon coming King? I know we got all different kind of ways to keep our eyes open now. Maybe it's coffee, maybe it's green tea, maybe it's a 5-hour energy. I don't know what you have to do to keep your eyes open in a busy season. What practices, though, keep you alert and alive in the spirit, alert and alive when it comes to seeking the Savior? Maybe it's in your giving, in your service. Maybe it's in your singing. Maybe that's how you seek the Savior. Maybe it's giving an extra little gift for the angel tree kid that the youth and children have adopted, or for the senior that the UMW has adopted. Maybe that's how we seek the Savior, in blessing somebody else. Maybe you'll see Jesus at the food bank serving with your church family. Maybe it's praying right in your at your kitchen table or in your garden outside your house. Maybe that's how you'll seek the Savior. Because we have to have a way. We have to have a way to make sure that we meet the Messiah this year. We don't want to miss that. Because sometimes when you do something you don't normally do, you'll see something you don't normally see. And friends, the text tells us that what we see is significant, because Zephaniah 3 says, God will restore your fortunes before your very eyes. That begs the question, are our eyes open? Are we paying attention? Are we keeping watch like the shepherds that night? What are we seeking this season? For what are we watching and waiting? What would be the greatest gift of Advent for you? The greatest gift that the coming Christ, the coming King, could bring. Because here's some good news. The promise of Advent is this: God hears our longing. God sends Jesus to reconcile that longing, to fix whatever is broken. The good news of Advent is that God sends us as messengers of that same reconciliation. Friends, I don't know what's out of whack in your world right now, but that's the thing Christ is coming for this year. I don't know what's hurting you right now, but that's what Christ wants to heal this year. Does not want you to carry it into another new year. That's the thing Jesus is coming to heal. And the good news is God looked beyond our fault and saw our need. God knew we needed to be rescued, knew that some of us would not draw near to him, as Zephaniah accuses us. Friends, Advent is a whole rescue mission, especially for the lame. Why the lame, Pastor? Because the reality is all of us have been lame, unable to move the way God wanted us to move. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. One songwriter says it this way: thank you for delivering me over painful circumstances that my poor soul couldn't flee. Sometimes we get ourselves into a mess that we can't walk away from, or that we don't want to walk away from. Amen. And still God will reach down and rescue us out of that thing. That's the good news of Advent, that those of us who have been lying lame 38 years or however many years at the pool of Bethesda, Christ comes for us. Those of us who've had to be carried on a mat by our friends into the presence of the Lord, that might just be invited to church or invited to share your story with them. Somebody that just offered to listen, that might be the way you carry somebody into the presence of Christ. But all of us have been lame like that. We've all stood with limp hands at some point, all fallen short in our giving, our service, our discipleship, our prayer, our priorities. They say Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, but expecting a different result. Sometimes, when you do something you don't normally do, you will see something you don't normally see. I wonder, what do you need to see restored before your very eyes this year? The promise of Advent is God looked beyond our fault and saw our need. God knew we needed to be gathered from exile, brought home from all the places that we wandered off to. Because the reality is, we've all been prodigal sons and daughters, amen. We've all wandered off and squandered the Father's generosity. We've all taken advantage of our heavenly parents' patience, been in a far off land. And your pig slop might not look like your neighbor's pig slop. Your mess might not smell like my mess, but all have sinned and we all have a sloppy story, amen. The promise of Advent is that God hears our longing, even if we never open our mouths and cry out. Even if we never confess what we need, God hears our longing, hears it even in our actions. The promise of Advent is that God sends Christ to fix what's broken, even when we try to deny that something is broke, even when we reject the help, because some of us will reject our redemption. Amen. The good news of Advent is that God sends us, as messy as we are, God sends us as messengers of that healing, of that reconciliation. Even if we ignore the assignment, even if we forget there's a preacher in all of us, even if we have no idea what we will say when sent, as we talked about last week, God still sends us. Thanks be to God for grace upon grace upon grace. Thanks be to God that we stand under the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, just like those children on the day of Passover so long ago. Wait, why are you talking about Passover at Christmas, Pastor? You skipping ahead to Easter and we haven't even made it to the silent night yet. Friends, there's only one salvation story, one story. And we can't tell the story of Easter and our salvation without telling the story of Christmas and the sending of Christ. And we can't tell the story of Christ coming at Christmas without thinking about the whole reason that he came. And so our journey of joy takes us on a path through Christmas and the cross. And to get to both, we walk through Zephaniah 3, where he says, rejoice. The Lord has canceled your punishment. Rejoice. The Lord has pushed back your enemies. Rejoice. The Lord is with you. So remember, there's a preacher in you too, just like John the Baptist out there preparing the way of the Lord. Remember, don't let your arms hang limp. Get to work, use whatever it is God has given you, and rejoice. God is with you. Don't just stand there lame and limp. This is your season. This is your season of restoration, and that's good news. But hold your nose. Be glad and rejoice. It's not the whole story. Zephaniah gives us that good news, and John says, yeah, but it's not for you if you don't repent and turn it around. Zephaniah says God is ready to restore you, and John asks, but are you ready? Has repentance been a part of your Advent journey so that your heart is ready to receive the Savior? If so, hallelujah. If not, Luke 3 and 9, the axe is at the tree, and every tree not bearing good fruit will be cut down, will be thrown in the fire. Luke 3 and 17 says Christ stands with a winnowing fork, clearing the threshing floor, gathering in the wheat and burning up all the chaff, all the bad wheat. Just speak English, Pastor. What you saying? Christ is sitting in a seat of judgment, even as he comes in a lowly manger. And ultimately, Christ will have to put in a good word for us, will have to vouch for us and say, yeah, I know her. She was faithful. Yeah, I know him. He was a witness. He didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk. He led by example. Oh, them? Nah, they went to church. But they weren't really the church. I know them not. The promise of Advent is that God doesn't want anyone to perish, because God so loved the whole world. God heard all of our cries, that God sent his son and now sends us. Friends, we have a choice. Will you be sent in the love of God as the image of God? Will you be the hands and feet of Christ? Will we be trees bearing good fruit? Will we be disciples doing God's will? God is ready to restore our fortunes before our very eyes. Are we ready? Are our eyes open? Are we spiritually snoozing? Sometimes when you do something you don't normally do, you see something you don't normally see. Church, what will we do differently in order to see the Savior? What will we do differently in order to see God's restoration before our very eyes? What will we do differently to experience joy, unspeakable joy? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.